close to my heart. Is there any time in your life that you ever felt alone? Alone where you don't have anybody to talk to. Alone where you don't have anybody to share your problems and struggles. This is what I felt when on the fourth day of this year, I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. Fear and anxiety crawled into my mind. Fear because my grandfather, my uncle, 50 years old, my younger brother, 35 years old, all died from diabetes. I asked myself, am I next in line? You know, that my thinking is just like, maybe I'm next. So there's fear, there's struggles, there's anxiety because what I'm going to do? You know, I don't have any knowledge what is diabetes all about. All I know is those people that I mentioned passed away from it. So I felt that I'm alone. How can I take care? I'm going to take care of myself. I have glaucoma as well, and glaucoma and diabetes doesn't work together, especially with your vision. There are times in my life that have this blurry vision that, like, when you're driving, sometimes it affects you. A lot of struggles, a lot of anxieties come into my mind. And during those times that I have these struggles about my diabetes, my work required me to handle two different schools. At the same time, one elementary school and one in middle school with two different programs. So the struggle, how can I handle this? I'm new to this position, and then they want me to handle two different schools. And aside from that, there's death. It's just my classmates in Bible school passed away, and there our pastor, who are very close to us in Thailand, passed away as well recently. And there's some news about your brother's actions. It's easy for me to be busy contemplating on all this situation than to see what God could do. Have you in that situation that it's easy for us to ask God, why, Lord? Why I have to go with it? I have to go through all of this instead of seeing what God can do in every situation that we are going through. For 2 months now, I have to prick my fingers 3 times a day to check my blood sugar. There are times that my fingers are numbed and sometimes painful. One time I talked to my wife and I told her that it is my prayer that my heart will not get numb as well as that my heart will not get numb as well because of what I'm going through. Every time I have to buy food, I have to read the label if it affects my blood sugar or not. You know, it is easy for me to question God than to focus on His goodness in my life. You know, like for all of us here, sometimes it's easy to just like point finger to God, why, instead of going through of everything that He has done to our lives. I have a lot of struggles questioning God, a lot of things. I don't know if you've been that in that part of your life. Have you been that struggle as well? Last time I was here in this pulpit, I preached about where is your focus? So Arnie, when I like studying this, like, where is your focus? That's the story of Peter. It reminded me to focus on God, on what God can do through my life. Even though the Valentine's banquet, for those who attended the Valentine's banquet last time, had a lot of work, was tiring, and takes time, takes a lot of planning, it saved me from going downhill. It is because it shifted my focus to focus on the banquet instead of my situation. I have something to keep me busy, and I enjoyed it. Yes, it might be busy, it might be tiring, but I enjoy doing it. And as I mentioned a while ago, it shifted my focus. Sometimes God used the Valentine's banquet for those people like, well, this is a lot of work. For some people, maybe, oh, it's so tiring. But God used those moments, those busy things, those like a lot of work to remind me, to refocus myself. Our study of the book of 1 Peter in Sunday school class, and we are still going that. God used that as well to save my life from going downhill. First chapter of 1 Peter is an encouragement to me because it reminded me of how blessed I am because I have something to keep, because a Jesus, who Jesus Christ in my life. I am blessed because of Jesus Christ. Here are some of the blessings that 1 Peter chapter 1 has. The blessing of who I am, who am I in Christ. If you read the whole chapter of 1 Peter chapter 1, I still have been studying that for 3 months now, November, December, January. I think we started January, November. Sorry, Kirk, we don't have here to remind me of. But like, who I am in Christ. Chapter 1, verse 2, I have a living hope. Chapter 1, verse 3, I have an incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away inheritance. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. My trials has a purpose. Chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. I have Jesus Christ in my trials. My brother and sister in Christ here, have you reminded yourself about how blessed you are? Sometimes we just take it for granted because we are focusing on the negative part instead of focusing what God can do and how blessed we are in front of our Heavenly Father. Warren Wiersbe wrote this one, God does not always provide explanation to your difficulties, but He does provide the promises of His Word. God did not promise an explanation why I have to go through with these things, why I have to experience all of this, why there's death, why there's a problem with family. I told my wife one time, you know what, my love? Sometimes family can be a curse or a blessing. For me, it's more like the curse, not on our family, my other side of the family. So sometimes it can be like that. But you know what? If you think about the negative things, God has a purpose while we have to go through all of this. This might be a blessing to God will forming a better person in you. In number five, not only I am redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is in chapter 1, verse 18 to 19. When negative things or struggles come into your mind, where is your focus, my brother and sister in Christ? Is our focus here, the promises of God's word, or our focus in our own personal self? Our hearts, we need to check our hearts. We need to check the attitude of our hearts, attitude of our mind. Aside from Valentine's banquet, Sunday school, Pastor James' preaching in the book of Philippians encouraging me a lot to continue and do not be discouraged. Here's why. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, He who began a good work in you will complete it until the end. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, For me to live in Christ and to die is gain. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, that my citizenship is in heaven. You know, like originally I'm not from the U.S. To go to the process of become a citizen of this country takes time. I mentioned this to you before, but those who are new, I have to study 100 questions. And out of those 100 questions, they will only ask you 10 questions, and you don't know where it came from those 100 questions. There's a funny story about that as well during my interview. I just give you why it's very funny. During my interview, the lady who about to interview me is very mean. Like, how to describe that? Kind of like mean face. He called my name, Dupit! I don't like interview, by the way. I don't like to be interviewed, and I always feel nervous. And then, of course, my wife and my mother-in-law was with me during the time. Like, oh no, she is a very mean lady. That's why the first impression that come to my mother-in-law, my wife. And then I come there, I get inside, only the two of us. She told me, okay, Mr. Dupit, raise your hand. What's the funny story is? Raise your hand. Why that is funny? Because he looked like only your right hand. And put your left hand on the Bible. Because like, I surrender, kind of like that. I surrender. And she like, that changed a lot because like, She like doing like this kind of like to try to hide her face, like not to laugh, because it's supposed to be only your right hand and your left hand on the Bible, and it will tell you like, do you want to tell me the truth and nothing but the truth? But it changed everything. Her face changed. It changed like, but that's the whole thing. I'm telling about that, about citizenship, sorry. But I'm just attracted to for you to see like, it's hard to become, being a citizen of this country, of this world is not easy. The reason why I want to become, there are some jobs that I weren't able to get because I'm not a citizen of this country. That's one thing that like, I applied. The reason one is I applied for a certain position in one company, and then they found out that I'm not a citizen of this country. Like, oh, we cannot give it to him because he's not a citizen of this country. So going back to our study, like that my citizenship is in heaven. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves that our citizenship is not on earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, that's what we read a while ago. Rejoice in the Lord. And to remind all of you that Apostle Peter, Paul, is writing these Philippians while he was in prison. Can you believe that you are in prison and you will tell your readers, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And chapter 4, verse 5, the Lord is at hand. God knows what he is doing. God knows what I'm going through. I am not alone. Be anxious for nothing because I can't pray about it. That is chapter 4, verse 6. Verse 7 of chapter 4, the peace of God which passeth all understanding will guard your heart. That's a big comfort to all of us, that the peace of God. How many people around the world, and even us sometimes, that we cannot go to sleep because we are struggling. We don't have that kind of peace because we are thinking a lot of things. But look at this verse. Paul reminding us that the peace of God will surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart. Verse 8. This is a very, very good verse to think. Every time, this is how I told you, this verse is very close to my heart. Whatsoever things, think on positive things. Think on these things. And then chapter 4, verse 13, that I can do all things through Christ. Remind yourself that I cannot do it by myself, but only through Christ, that we can do a lot of things. Because if we depend on our own personal strength, we cannot do it. It's only by the grace of God where you can do things, all things through Christ. And then the last one that's been a blessing to me is Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, God will supply my needs. I can rejoice in the Lord in my diabetic journey. Apostle Paul was in prison while writing the book of Philippians. I may not able to change the fact that I am diabetic, but I can always change the attitude of my heart. I may not able to change my genes, but I can always change my choices. During those days, weeks, and months of struggling and accepting and changing my eating habits and lifestyle, God reminded me of words and Bible verses that help me from going down the hill and that keeps me going. It is my prayer that these words will encourage your hearts and mind when it is that time in your life that you face some testings. So I will share these three words that keep, like God reminded me every day. First word is walk. Ricky, just walk. Walk worthy of your calling. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. God has already given us the strength and ability to walk worthy of our calling. I am called to finish the race that God set before me. Like a runner, I need to prepare myself for my spiritual walk. It is not easy because along the way, we will pass through difficult places, but God is faithful to empower us to finish the race. He might provide the fellow Christians to come alongside and encourage us to fight a good fight of faith. One of the biggest comforting lessons I learned in life and in the study of the book of Philippians is found in the last few verses of chapter 4. You know what lesson? The lesson is, I learned that God knows how to encourage His people when they need it. Look at, if you read that one, God uses the life of Epaphroditus and the Philippians believer to provide Paul's physical needs, emotional needs, and spiritual needs. They minister to Paul in a very special way. My friends, my question to you is, who are those Epaphroditus and Philippian believers in your life that God used to be a channel of blessing, to encourage you, to walk side by side with you while you are in your darkest moment of your life? Like Apostle Paul, have you praised and thanked God and thanked him for those people he used? If you have time to think about them, say thank you for your life. Thank you that you have been a blessing to me. I am thankful to God for using all of your lives to encourage me during this journey. You just never know how God uses of your lives to encourage me. Some of you give me some medical advices. Some of you making sure that the food I'm eating will not spike my blood sugar. Who know who you are? You both know who you are. And some of you offer help, even though I will not ask for help. Those are blessings. And especially those men and women who help our banquet is just a blessing to me. You know, one time, Mary and Virginia just lost their cats that day. And the three of us are working to decorate that fellowship hall for the banquet. And you know what? Like, you just have to think about it. God knows how to encourage my heart during those days. And I believe, my brothers and sisters in Christ here today, God knows how to encourage your heart when you need one. He will use people, He will use verses, He will use song, anything He can use to encourage your heart. And make sure you praise and thank God for that, even for those small things that He used to encourage your heart. And also, thank you for praying with me. That's a very encouraging that a lot of you are praying for me in this diabetic journey. Not only walk worthy of your calling, but God reminded me every day to walk by faith and not by sight. Because if I walk by sight, I cannot stand here in front of you. I will just walk by faith. This is a very good quote from John Blanchard, a preacher, author, and a teacher. Walking by faith means being prepared to trust where we are not permitted to see. Again, I want to read that. Walking by faith means being prepared to trust where you are not permitted to see. Sometimes I don't know what's going on. It's so blurry over there sometimes. But I have to walk by faith, because if I will just see the darkness of this diabetic journey, I will not able to pursue. I will not able to continue. It's easy for me to stay home and just contemplating instead of be here, worshiping my Heavenly Father, enjoying the fellowship of the believers. I believe that in our journey here on earth, there are some disruptive moments in our life that God allows. Disruptive moments that we always wonder why, or disruptive moments that we resist because it is so painful, unanticipated, unexpected, hard, and often not optional. We have to go through it. Have you ever think about that there are times in our life, like, why, Lord, why do I have to go through all of this? It's not optional. If you have an option, I will not choose that one, right? Agree or disagree? Why we have to go through it? Sometimes you always ask this question, why we have to go through all of this process? God knows what He's doing. It might be uneasy and uncomfortable, but remember that there is always a blessing that results from it. Jack Swindoll once wrote, "We all face a series of great opportunities, brilliantly disguised as impossible situations." We all face a series of great opportunities, brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. Sometimes it may be impossible, but God uses impossibilities for us to see that there's a blessing from all of the struggles, there's blessing from all the situations. Job experienced disruptive moments, but God replaced everything that was gone. Apostle Paul, as an example of disruptive moments in the New Testament. If you read Apostle Paul, he's so faithful sharing the gospel and going all over the place to share the word of God. But look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the reverence, a thorn in the flesh were given to me." And that if you continue reading, even Apostle Paul like asked for it, pray like, "Lord, take this away," but did not remove that from him. He will have the struggle of thorn of the flesh. Can I compare myself to Apostle Paul? Of course not. He experienced more than just, this is just like, for me, just like a small things. But look at Apostle Paul. He's the example of disruptive moments that he's faithfully serving the Lord, but God let him experience this thorn of the flesh. I don't know what is that. My friends, if God has allowed disruptive moments in your life, remember Paul's reminder in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, to walk by faith and not by sight, because his grace is sufficient to all of us, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, and he will never leave us nor forsake us, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Tudor Rwitki, I don't know if I pronounce it right, a poet, wrote this one: "Over every mountain, there is a path, although it may not be seen from the valley." If we are in the valley, we cannot ever see sometimes the plan of God, because on the top of the mountain, we might see like there's a road over there, or there's like a path over there. But if you're in the valley, sometimes our focus only is on the valley instead of like seeing the mountain part. My friends, walking alone is hard, but when you have God walking with you every day, it encourages you every single day of the reason why you are walking. What encourages you to walk worthy of your calling, my friends? What motivates you to walk by faith and not by sight? Why are you continually walking and not giving up, even though there are challenges in tough times in your daily walk? I cannot answer that for you, but you can answer that question. Not only walk, the second one that God keeps reminding me every day is, Ricky, not only walk, but continue. Continue to do good to all, especially to the family of God. As I mentioned a while ago, how many of you, all of you, encourage me to continue to do good, even though it's hard sometimes to just like, I just want to give up. I just want to like continue eating. What the reason, by the way, is like I'm the one who cook at the house. I'm cooking for the house, and I have my own separate meal for myself, and I'm cooking for my wife and my brother-in-law. Sometimes I come, "Hey, come here, taste this one. I cannot have this, so you taste this." So I'm cooking, but she's the taster. She tastes the food that I'm cooking, so it works well. But my point here is that like, how can I be a blessing, or how to do good works, especially to the family of God, is like by bringing others to Him, to reach out to others. That's why I told a while ago that this diabetic journey that I have, God can use this to be a blessing to other people. You know, my brother and sister in Christ, God reminded me recently that God can use your life to help those people financially, maybe, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. God can use your life to serve other people. Wherever you are, wherever you have an opportunity, serve others through Christ. That's why I emphasize the word through Christ, because we cannot serve others without Christ reminding us that we are doing it for the Lord and not for men. We need to remember that there are people around us that need a great physician who not only heals their physical illnesses, but most importantly, their spiritual needs. Mankind needs spiritual surgery, and we might be that person that God gonna use to bring them to the great physician. May the people around us see the hope of Christ in our daily lives and see our good deeds and glorify God, our Father, which is in heaven. My friend, have you think about that, that God might use your life to bring others in a surgery room for them to get healed? I'm using medical terms here. Continue to do good to all, especially to the family of God, and continue to bear much fruit. My friends, this diabetic journey will not stop me from bearing much fruit. Why? Because I am called to bear much fruit. I am a child of God. How? How can I bear much fruit? By faithfully serving and working for Him wherever He puts me, showing grace and kindness to the people that is unkind to us. This is a challenge to all of us. As stewards of God, we also have been entrusted with seeds to sow. Sorry, I pronounced it wrong maybe. My question is, what are we doing to those seeds that are entrusted to us? A quote from Robert Schuller says, "Anyone can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the number of apples in a seed. Only God can tell the fruit that we will bear, but we are called to sow and bear much fruit." My friends, my question is, how's our garden and orchard growing right now? That's a big question. I ask myself that as well when I'm preparing this. Do I have a garden or do I have an orchard? But still, I still have to make sure that I am called to bear much fruit. Not only me, but all of us who accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to bear much fruit. Another is not only to continue doing good work, not only continue to bear much fruit, but this is a good, one of the hardest continue that God reminded me. Continue to be thankful or have a gratitude of attitude of gratitude in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. I can thank God with my diabetic journey. Some people, no, I can't. But God kept reminding me, Ricky, continue to give thanks. Continue to give thanks because there is always a purpose why God allowed those things to happen to you. I'm not ready. I'm young. Kind of like that, the denial part, that I'm still young. I don't like this. One of my favorite parable is the healing of the 10 lepers. That's in Luke chapter 17. Lepers are social outcasts. They were separated from their loved ones. They were forbidden to enter their villages, to live in their own house, to work in their jobs, or even touch their children. And you just think about that for a while. Those are father, those are mother. If you have that kind of condition way back, you are like an outcast. They were shut from the society, and they cannot talk to others. But God reminded me of one of those lepers. He go back. And what he did? Give thanks to Jesus Christ. I had a few challenging situations recently, but I have a lot of things that I can thank God for. And I just want to be reminded that who am I in Christ? A good series of verses that is, He will never leave me nor forsake me. He will wipe away every tear from all faces. He is God of all comfort. His grace is sufficient to all of us. He gives the right to become children of God. And He is a God of second chances. And I think many chances. I will change that. Many chances. I don't have any reason to thank Christ for what He has done for me, especially for what He did on the cross for my salvation. Walk, continue, and then the last word that He keeps reminding me is the word sustain. God sustained me in this journey. This is only just 2 months, but I know it still be a long ways until maybe God will take me home, that He will continue to sustain me all of these struggles that I'm facing, all of these challenges that I'm facing. Psalm 55 verse 22 says, "Cast your burden on the Lord and He will sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." Sustain means to support, to hold, to bear up from beneath, to bear the weight of. I like Nehemiah chapter 9:21 says, 40 years you sustained them in wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, and their feet did not swell. Imagine how God sustained me all of this. And I believe, my brothers and sisters in Christ, God will sustain you as well for what you are going through. Psalm 3:5 says, I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. Psalm 41, verse 3, the Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sick bed. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 4, even to your old age, I am he. And even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will sustain and will deliver you. Like the great pillars of an unshakable bridge, the promises of God sustain me in this journey. His everlasting arms sustain us through every storm. The last hymn we sang is just like, what have I to dread? What I have to fear, leaning on the everlasting arm. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. God sustain us in every situation that we are facing. As how God sustained me to have that willpower to stick to my diet plan. It's hard. Very, very hard. I have to change everything, like 100% from my old food that I'm eating to a new. I have a week plan of food every day already, and it's already cooked. If you go to my house, you can have some. I'm just kidding. But my point here is just like, God, it's hard, I'm still telling you, but God sustained me to give me that willpower to change everything. God sustained me to continue to obey and serve Him despite these recent challenges. God sustained me by reminding me that His grace is sufficient to me. God sustained me to remain faithful to Him in His calling. My friends, it's hard to remain faithful when you're struggling with a lot of things. Only by the grace of God that we can remain faithful, even lives is very challenging. Yesterday, I read a devotional about spiritual solstice. Is that the right word, right? So about winter solstice. As I read this, it's I will read Psalm 63:6 first. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Winter solstice, according to Wikipedia, takes place between December 21st and 22nd each year. It occurs when either of Earth's poles reaches its maximum tilt away from the sun in its orbital path. It marks the end of long nights and short days and the beginning of short nights and long days. That's correct? These are times that we long for winter solstice type of there are times that we long for winter solstice type of moment in our lives when we are going through tough and challenging times. We want to see more light than darkness each day, especially when darkness of tough times, challenges, and discouragement darken the joy of our lives. God has taught me a very important lesson from that winter solstice that is my diabetic journey might be hard and challenging, but use that darkness to meditate and reflect on the unchanging character and nature of Him. I can focus on my everyday, I can focus on my diabetic journey, but I can focus on the unchanging character and nature of our Heavenly Father. Darkness may affect my vision of Him, but darkness doesn't change God. When I'm seeing the darkness, it changes. When I see with all of this diabetic journey, it might change how I see God, but He never changed. He is still the same God from the time that when I trusted my life to Him up to this moment. He's unchangeable God. He is able to carry me through. He is able to deliver me from all this worry and fear that is going on in my mind. I don't know what you are going through right now. But I want to encourage you to ask God to walk with you through the stages of dark nights. Remember that he who began a good work in you will fulfill it until the end. And remember who he is in what he has done for your life. God has a mighty way to encourage me one day. I started my morning devotion with a verse, Romans 8:28, and you know what is that? And it says, like, all things work together for those who love the Lord. Then I go to work, I turn on the radio. You know what's the song that plays there? I know God makes no mistake. There's a purpose in every change he makes. Like, wow. The timing. And then coming home from work, of course, the radio is on. The preaching is about Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. And what does it say? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's why I reminded you all a while ago that God knows how to encourage his people when they need them. When I'm in my darkest moment, when I'm the hardest moment of my life, God reminded me of this simple song, of the simple verses that I kind of memorized since I was 20. I became a Christian when I was 20 years old, so I started old. And for me to be reminded, God is on time to remind his people. Sometimes we just need to listen when he speaks. I really like this quote from Josh Billings. Life is a grindstone, and whether it grinds a man down or polishes him up depends on the stuff he's made of. How about us? I just want to ask myself, what is the grindstone doing to us? Is it grinding you down or polishing you? As a conclusion, to end this, one of the most loved illustrations that I always use and share to others when I'm doing some counseling, some preaching, or just a normal storytelling is about the two prisoners inside the prison cell. One sees the dirty floor, but the other one sees the starry night. During those hard days that I felt I was alone, I was inside the prison cell experience. I reminded myself to look up to the starry sky because God knows what he is doing. And I know that he will carry me through. My friends, when you face this kind of situation, like darkest situation every day of your life or sometime in your life, what you are seeing? Are you seeing the dirty floor or are you seeing the starry skies? A few months ago, I preached about Epaphroditus. It's so irony, right? And I titled that message, Epaphroditus, Faithful in Sickness. And I can't believe how God reminded me every day about his life. Even Pastor James preaching last few months ago and then this past few weeks about the life of Epaphroditus. It reminded me about me to be faithful, even though sometimes my health is not in good condition. Like Epaphroditus, God sees what you are doing for his kingdom. And if you're struggling to continue because of pain, dark valleys, and some disruptive moments, take one step at a time and continue to finish the race that God set before you. Remember that the God that Epaphroditus trusted his life when he was sick is the same God that we can trust right now. Our closing song is entitled, God Leads His Dear Children Along. That's a very good song to close this. You know why? The writer of that hymn is George Young. He was an obscure preacher and carpenter. He often struggled to support his family on the insufficient amount he made. George Young and his family is said to have built their own small home. Imagine that excitement. But, sad tragedy is, some of those people who hear his preaching doesn't like him. This doesn't like what he's preaching. Burned the house that he just made for his family. From this tragedy, in the words of Job chapter 35, verse 10, Young wrote his hymn. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. In shady green pasture, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cold flow, bath the weary ones, God lead, one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Though sorrow befall us and Satan oppose, God leads his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all foes, God leads his dear children along. Look at the chorus. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but through the blood, and some through great sorrow, but God gives the song in the night season and all the day long. God may lead some of us through raging waters. Some may be on flood, some on fire, or maybe some of us in great sorrow, but our great comfort is God is our God who is leading us in not someone or some else. Again, I want to repeat that. I think I didn't read it right. But our comfort is that our God is leading us, not someone else or something else. My friends, I don't know what you are going through right now. But as the writer of this hymn reminded us, God gives the song. There's a song that can give to encourage us. There's a blessing from all the trials that we are going through. Let's just open our heart and mind to see who God is in our lives. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this great reminder to all of us. It's a lot of things about this preaching, Heavenly Father. Give us the grace to see you. Give us, open our hearts and our mind, Heavenly Father, to see you in every situation that sometimes is hard, unanticipated, uncomfortable, Heavenly Father. And it's my prayer, Heavenly Father, that we are not just only hearers of your word, but doers of your word. Lord, thank you once again for this privilege that I can share your word to this congregation. I bring back all the glory, praises, and honor to you, because you deserve all our highest praise and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.
Take out your hymnals again. Let's open them up to page 406. God leads us along. 406. We'll sing all four verses. Let's stand if we can. In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along.